The first lesson is taken from Job chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. The book of Job chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Let's hear the word of God. Job's second test. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Here ends the reading of the first lesson.
Our second Bible reading is taken from the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Hebrews 1, 1 to 4. Let us hear the word of God. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Here ends the reading of the second lesson. Thanks be to God.
Shall we rise up for the gospel reading? The gospel reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 1. Mark 10, 13 to 16. And I read. Then they brought little children to him, that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up on his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the gospel of God.
Let us bow down our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your great love for us, for all the wonderful things you are doing in our lives. You love us. We are dear in your hands. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercies. Lord, thank you for your grace. We know we are what we are by your grace. Without you, we accept we can do nothing. And Lord, we thank you for the way you are watching over us, protecting us, providing our needs, and leading and guiding us through life. Oh God, we are grateful. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to listen to your word. I pray you speak to us. Holy Spirit, take over. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you extend your hand once again to the person sitting by you? That person is not sitting by you by chance. God has designed that today the person should be by you. Just say a good thing. A word of encouragement to the person sitting by you. If the person is looking handsome, say, "Oh, wonderful." What's that? Today, I am in black and red. Meanwhile, the day is communion. Today, the Methodist Church is inducting a new presiding bishop at Wesley. And I was there. I had to run, come here. And when we closed, I ran back. And this is our working gear. There's our normal attire for a day like that. The black means that, yes, the world is dark, but there's hope. Jesus is light. And this means is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Red means fire, you believe, huh? And so we are crying for the fire of God upon our presiding bishop and upon the church. If you accept it, shout amen.
Amen.
So I'm not mourning. No. Today, I should have preached to you on the theme, Receiving the Kingdom of God. I prepared, I read a lot about it. But then, early this morning in prayer, battling, I feel deep down within me that a message I shared with members of the 80th anniversary committee at Manet should be shared with you. Those who were there, don't be tied with me. I normally don't repeat messages a lot. I don't do that. But deep down within the recesses of my heart, I believe that I must share this issue with you. It's about prayer and one part of prayer. And it is about when you feel that you want a change in your country, a change in a church, a change in your life, a change in your family, a change in the situation of somebody, a change in your business, a change. What do you do? And I want to share this with you. In this world, I'm encouraging all who are here that there are some things we can do for ourselves, but there are other things that are beyond us. And if in your life, you find that there's something that is beyond you, Don't throw your hands in the air in despair and think that nothing can be done. Let me tell you, that situation is an opportunity to see the hand of the living God at work. Oh, I didn't hear you. Luke 1:37 says that for with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. It's an opportunity to appeal to heaven and appeal to the living God. And there's nothing that God cannot do. Maybe I'm ministering to somebody here this morning. Whatever your problem, whatever the challenges that you are going through, I'm telling you, there's light beyond the tunnel. Your God is in charge. Amen. Your God is alive. Amen. Oh yes, he can do everything to his own glory. Just look up, and the Lord will have mercy. Amen. So, if things are difficult, please, I'm telling you, look beyond that and know that there's still a vision and good things can come out of what you are going through. And so, we all have vision. A vision for a better something. For a better Ghana, for a better church, for a better institution, for a better business, for a better life. It is good. It is good to have a vision. But today I preach to you on tears for change. Tears for change. And one gentleman, a priest, John Stott, defines vision. If you have a vision for a better something, as a deep dissatisfaction with what is, and a clear grasp of what could be. You are not happy with what is happening today, but you are looking beyond that. The marriage is not satisfying you today, but you are looking beyond that. You are not getting the best out of this country today, but you are looking beyond that. Vision is a deep dissatisfaction with what is, and a clear grasp of what could be. It begins with indignation. You are not happy. You have a hatred for a current situation. This thing must not remain. There should be a change. So it begins with a clear indignation over the status quo. And it grows into an earnest quest for an alternative. God descend. This situation must change. This situation should not remain like that. Ghana needs a change. The country can change. We are looking beyond that. Beyond all the challenges we have, God can do it. If you accept it, shout amen. Amen. Now for the Christian, that the dissatisfaction with the status quo may lead sometimes to tears. You are not happy. It may sometimes lead to tears. The dissatisfaction in the Christian may lead him to intercede for the situation. Sometimes the intercession and the deep yearning may lead to tears. Dr. Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, was moved by the physical and spiritual needs of the world that he was often heard saying, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Let my heart be what? Broken. With the things that break the heart of God." And that was his prayer. God, if there's something you do not like, let that thing break my heart too. I want to be responding to things that you are not happy with. Our world can move towards God only by people who have shared to a deep degree the heartbreak of God. People who see things and think there must be an alternative and are not happy, they are people God used to bring change. There are some people who see things and they don't care. Their families are getting apart, but they don't care. The marriage is breaking, but the person is not worried. And the marriage say, but on funnel. There are people like that. The family is disintegrated. He's not worried. Things are not going on with the country, but they don't care. Things are not going on well with the business, but he doesn't care. But I thank God that there are people who see things that are not going on well, and they get burdened. And if they have an opportunity, they work. If it is beyond them, they take it to God. I thank God for such people. They are people who bring change. I pray that you'll be one of them. Now let us read from Acts 20, verses 18 to 21. Tears of change. Acts 20, 18 to 21. It will be projected. Let us all read. When they arrived, Paul said to them, it is Paul here, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. Let us all read. From the first day I came into the province of Asia. Yes, 19. Verse 19. I served the Lord with what? Great humility. And with what? Tears. Although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. He served the Lord with great humility and tears. Can we serve God with tears? Do we serve God with tears? We know that we can serve God with humility. But do we have tears worship in Christianity? Serving God with tears. And Paul is saying, I serve God with great humility and what? Tears. There are some people who see things and they are happy. They don't care, I'm saying. But there are others who see. And their hearts are breaking. They see some things that the whole church, including himself, are doing. And the person is not happy. He is heartbroken. Where is God? They see some things with Ghana. And the person can't sleep. And that is what we mean by serving God with tears. Things you are seeing. Others are laughing. As I sit in the office and people come and say, divorce, divorce, divorcing, that should break my heart. As I see the world, men marrying men, women marrying women, others laugh. But it should break my heart. Where is our future? Who produced the children? When all men in this world marry men and all women marry women, others laugh. But it breaks the heart of some people. Serving God with tears. Are you serving God with tears? Some feel their life is just get food and get where you sleep and the rest you don't care. But not knowing that even in Christian worship, we can and we are expected to serve God with tears. There are situations that must drive you to your knees. Some people look at Ghana and it's all about story judges. They are always talking. But I thank God that others hear and see. And these things drive them to their knees. Next year, we will be voting. And nobody knows what will happen. It is driving some people to their knees, but others don't care. Serving God with tears. Anytime I come to church here and I see, I'm telling people one of my, I see empty pews when I'm leaving. I go with a heavy head. They speak to me. Where are the people who should sit on the pews? And the message it tells me is that you are killing the church. I am killing. I'm part of it. I live and sometimes I will. My heart is burning and willing. Where is God? Because when I arrived here, I told you three things. Some people are situation maintainers. They go and see the thing. It is 16. They will keep the 16. After 5 years, they give your 16 to you. Other people are improvers. If you give them 16, by the time you come, they have given you 32. But if they give me 16, at the end of the day, I'm seeing 10. And I go and sit there and they bring bread and I'm happy. I'm not happy. As they give me gifts, my heart is still aching. God, I wasn't brought here for gifts. I was brought here to do the will of the one who sent me. And so as I see the empty pews, they speak to me. Sometimes within my heart, I weep. My wife knows that I'm a wailer. At dawn, a lot of times she will tell you, sleep, sleep, sleep. Me down ye ye. The burden of the church. Down ye ye. And she will know, in that deep sorrow, you find me, you know, biting my fingernails. Then she will shout, 2 a.m. There! So you don't know what you are talking about. You think it's an issue of day. And when I think I'm disturbing her, I will have to rise and go to the sitting room. You can't sleep. There are situations that you can't sleep over. You have to call on God. Because surely you will account for that. And so if Paul is saying here, I serve God with tears. I know many people are serving God with tears. Others come and dance and jump and hail. But I know deep down within many, there's a burden upon hearts. I don't know what drives you to a burden. If you read Job chapter 30 verse 25, Job says that, let us all read, he says, have I not wept for those in trouble? Job, when he sees people in trouble, he does what? He weeps. When other people see others in trouble, they laugh. It's like they are sympathizing, but they are a boa. It is simply superficial. But when others see others in trouble, they do what? They weep. Mourn with those who are. Only few people can empathize and truly tell you that we are praying for you. Some people only use "we are praying for you" just to doubt their feelings of, yeah, we are praying for you. We are praying for you. Abua. The person is not your prayer topic. But I thank God that we have intercessors in this world. When they tell you they are praying for you, truly they are weeping for you. And let those intercessors shout amen. Amen. Is it high or low? The amen. Amen. When I see those in trouble, I weep. Has not my soul grieved for the poor? His soul grieves for the poor. How many people are grieving for the poor? I go to the kitchen and sometimes I see what we are going to throw away. Sometimes I share and tell of mommy, don't we have anybody we can share these things with? And I always did me that we have hired the she. Do you think others have also eaten? As you belt, eating, after eating and drinking, you belt. You think everybody has eaten. Tears for change. Who is grieving for the poor? Who is grieving for those who are really battling? Ezra chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. It says, let us all read. While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israel's men, women and children gathered around him. They too wept, what? Bitterly. Some people think in Christianity, their emotions are not needed. We don't need emotions in Christianity. It should be stiff. But the Bible is not like that too. As he was confessing the sins of his own people, including himself, he could not stand. He wept bitterly and could not even so he threw himself before the house of God. And as he wept, those around him were led to also what? Weep. Weeping for the sin of the nation. How many people are weeping for the sin of Ghana? Others are killed, and they easily find those who killed them. Others are killed, and nobody's concerned. In no certain bloodshed, but who is after what? There are others who are daily languishing, daily praying, bitterly before God, crying and confessing for Ghana. God, have mercy upon our greed. God, have mercy upon our corruption. God, have mercy. They are crying, they are weeping, they are wailing and asking for forgiveness. But the other people who call themselves Christians, who simply don't care. Brothers, tears for change. These things are part of Christianity. Sometimes we have to tell the truth to gentlemen, nyamisum. That type of gentleman Christianity will not take us anywhere. It's an issue of all or none principle. If you want to go with God, go full throttle. If you also don't want, scripture is there. We are world changers. Ezra prayed and the situation changed. Listen to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 4. People brought the report of Israel to Nehemiah. Those who brought it were from the place. They were not moved. But let us read. Please read with me. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Others here, and they are not moved. I'm coming from Ghana. Things are not well. Yo, they are this. This MPP, this NDC, this. But I know that there are people when they hear, there are some issues that drive them to their knees. There are some issues that must drive us to our knees. That God, you are our only God. Descend. Descend. Cause a change. Descend, God. Are the things that are breaking the heart of God breaking your heart? It is so sad that even Christianity has become a selfish something. Some people just go to church, and all that they go to church for is for their own prosperity and that of their children. That's all. Nobody else. Tell them, pray now. Pray. Yes, pray. Father, I bring my wife before your throne. And my children, Amma, and my young man, Kofi. Father, bless, love, keep, turn, and amen. That's it. No prayer for anybody again. Amma, Kofi, and then that's all. And when they're even searching for God and go to places, these days it's not prayer for themselves. It's if you are praying for me. Who cares about what is happening to other people? But look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah wailing for the whole nation. You know, I've led churches a lot. And churches that pray aloud. When you say, pray for Ghana, you hear that the thing is undertone. Pray for Ghana! Pray for Ghana! Then you pray Ghana. Ghana. You say Ghana. Ghana. Pray for Ghana. pray for the church. Church. Now we are going to pray for ourselves. Yes, we will be praying for ourselves and our prosperity. Hey. That one noise. But pray for Ghana. Who cares? Who cares pray for Ghana? But brothers, as you pray and intercede for others, God also listens to you. As Ghana prospers, you will also prosper. That's God's principle in the Bible. Sometimes some people think I will prosper and the others will not prosper. You will suffer rather. But as the nation prospers, we all prosper. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall who love you. Listen to the word though. You pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love you. As you pray for the Jerusalem and Jerusalem prospers, you also what? Prosper. I thank God that in Accra Church we are not like that. Here, Accra Church, prayer. When you call for prayer, the whole place is full. And then when you say pray for Ghana, look at the person sitting by you and say, do you come? Do you come when we are praying for? Pray for Ghana and to call the whole church and say, Accra Church, come, let's fast for Ghana. Huh? Fast for who? Ask the person sitting by you, do you fast for Ghana? Fast for Ghana. 2 Kings chapter 22 verse 19. I don't know. Are you being blessed? But it's an action. The Lord is calling all of us. Let us all read. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord. When you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they will become accursed and laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. That is for Josiah. Just recently, we've been here having messages and revelations. And somebody even visited from Kenya. And he came to speak to this church about what is ahead, what we must do. People here, but what is ahead, so what? Then these people deserve it. Ah. When it happens, we also suffer. Nobody knows. But God is commending the people who were under Josiah. I told you what was going to happen. And you responded. You tore your clothes. You wept before me. You prayed. I have listened. When are we coming together? In seriousness, are we happy with what is happening? We think we can do it. But how many are ready to wail, to weep, and call on God? Brothers, our Lord Jesus himself, Hebrews 5:7. Our Lord Jesus himself, the Bible says that in the days of his flesh, Hebrews 5:7. I've escaped a lot of verses. Hebrews 5:7, it says what? During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with what? Wow, are you sure? Are you sure? When Jesus was on earth, he offered up prayers and what? With what? I don't think Jesus was doing loud cry. He was doing kokumpabo. I think he was doing the quiet type. God is in his holy temple. Let all remain silent before him. God listens to prayer like that. The quiet, the simple prayer, God listens. But when our Lord Jesus was also on earth, he offered our prayers and petitions. Let us continue with what? Do we need loud cries and tears? There are some Christians who have become, who pontificate. When they hear other people praying and loudly and wailing, they say, hey, the Jesus people. Prayer too, is it a serious exercise like that? The Bible tells us that in Gethsemane, when Jesus comes, they always saw that the sweat was like what? It means he went and he was standing there like this. Then he comes and then sweat. Do you stand there quietly like that and you sweat? Ask the person sitting by, how do you sweat? So is prayer also an action word? Ask the person sitting by, do you know only kunkum pabo? Kunkum pabo is the silent one. Kunkum. Kunkum. You say pray, everybody is quiet. Pray. Pray. God listens to kunkum pabo. He listens to the quiet type. But sometimes he also listens to what? Loud cries. And what? Tears. I've told some people before, one time my own business, I was in trouble. Things were running down here. I didn't know what to do beyond my words. I took my bag, went to Accra in a Fijiasi area, climbed the hill. Nobody was with me. There was nobody who was giving me praises. Nobody was singing. I was there alone. In the morning, I entered the forest. An issue of weeping and crying and loud tears. God, things are collapsing in my hands. And my whole life is also collapsing, God. Cry, I'll cry tears. Getting to the end of the week, I had a message. And the message was clear from somebody who didn't know me. But the message came clear. I've taken control of the problem. I took it with faith, said, God, thank you. I came down. Everything was quiet. He had taken control. Sometimes there are some issues that demand loud cries and tears. Oh, hey, going sleeping, going eating. In the midst of trouble, you are still sleeping. Botipa, putting sugar, good sugar. He says, "Sofu, pray for me." You should become fat and I should continue to be slim. I don't believe in praying for me. We all pray. Because the Bible did not say, we pray for me. And this New Testament age, the curtain has been removed. And we can all enter the throne room of God with our petitions. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. We belong to the generation that has been so resourced. The Holy Spirit is for all of us, not only for pastors. Why should you always come to me to pray for you? Why can't we all pray? I like the fancy word, mpaibo. It is not mpaije. Do we say mpaije? What do we say? We are going to pray. But why is it that you are always going for Mpaije? When we are supposed to do what? Mpaibo. Go and pray. I thank God for Accra Red Church. We like praying. Accra Red Church. We like praying. If you accept it, shout amen. Amen. Do we go for Mpaije or Mpaibo? Brothers, things that affect the heart of God should affect us. Our Lord Jesus, in the days of his flesh, offered up prayers with loud cries and tears, and he was heard because of his obedience. Our Lord, the God-man, the divine human being. That was how he was battling in prayer. Can we do anything less than that? 19, verses 41 to 44. Sorry for taking a lot of your time. I'm finishing. I see some people are yawning. Ah. Luke 19, 41 to 44. Let us read. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Jerusalem didn't know what was happening, but Jesus knew, and Jesus was not happy. He wasn't laughing. He wept over Jerusalem. People don't know what is happening to Ghana, but some are full of revelation, and they know that things are not correct, and that the Lord must descend. Those people are weeping, weeping over our nation. But I'm praying in the mighty name of Jesus that as the revelation increases, we need to do something about it. Listen to what the Israelites did, especially the leaders of Israel. When God was telling them that things are not right, things are not right, listen to what God did and the punishment he gave them. Isaiah 22, verses 12 to 14. Isaiah 22, verses 12 to 14. Let us read. The Lord Almighty, called you on that day to weep and to wail, to tear out your hair and put on sackcloth. Can that be a demand of God? God demanding that you must weep, no crocodile tears, but this thing must break your heart. But see, after God has revealed all that to them, what did they do? But see, there's what? Joy and reverie. Slaughtering of cattle and killing of sheep. Eating of meat and drinking of wine. Let us eat and drink. You say, for tomorrow, so what? He's revealing so hot. Osofu, what are you talking about? So what? So according from what? So for what tears? Why should I shed tears? I'm minding my business. I'm not a politician. I'm minding my business. They said they can do it, and then you don't. Let us continue. It says what? The Lord Almighty has revealed this in my hearing. Till your dying day, this sin will not be atoned for, says the Lord Almighty. This sin I will never forgive. I am showing you a lot of things that should break your heart, and nothing is breaking your heart. You are still eating. You are still taking meat. Sugar. Fanti. Me a Fanti new. So, nothing is moving you. Every morning you take it. Afternoon you take it. Evening you take it. And you, if you are a Fanti, evening you add tea. Cocoa tea or milo tea or but tea. You are not moved. Let Ghana burn or whatever. You don't care. Brother, not knowing this is a grievous sin. It is callous behavior. You know things are not right, but you are not ready to do anything about it. I thank God for those who are shedding tears and who are crying unto the living God for change. It shall be well with your soul. Oh, I pray that something can move us all. In your own family, if you find that things are not going on well, let that situation drive you to your knees, and let it create something in your heart. At least wail. At least plead. Ask for God to forgive the family. God will work. If you see something not happening in your church, God is giving you the chance. You can wail. You can pray. You can weep. You can shed tears. Be an intercessor. Don't just look at things and think, I don't care. Doesn't come near my habitation. I'm not the one in charge. It is not a Christian attitude. Tears for change. Who are ready to shed tears? Who are ready to let the church of God march forward? Rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. We stand and sing. It's a 585. 585. Rise up. Rise up, oh. Rise up. Things are not going on well. Maybe in my family, in your family, with some people, in your church, in Ghana. What are we doing? Are we happy? If you can't do anything at all, you can battle for this country. You can pray, intercede for this country. You can weep for this country. You can weep for your church. You can weep for your family. Let us all stand. Rise up, O men. Have done with lesser things. With lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Rise up, O man of God. His kingdom is waiting long. His kingdom waits long. Bring in the day of brotherhood and end dead night. Rise up, O men of God. The church for the death wait. Oh, her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make the last stanza. Lift high the cross of Christ. What Jesus did, to do it too. And his feet have trod. Oh, as brothers of the Son of Man. Rise up, O men of God. Men of God, rise up. If you don't have anybody you are praying with, come join us here when we are praying. But if you can get a prayer partner, begin to be an intercessor. I have one. And every week we meet somewhere in the area of cantonment. The person is not a member. But every time we are before God, on our knees, up, standing, everything, it is a battle. And for about sometime 4 hours up to 11, we are crying on the living God. Please. If you hear a message like this and you go and it is just still sleep, you don't care. I sense within my spirit that God is calling his church to prayer and nobody should be hard-hearted. Let us bow down our heads in prayer. Rise up, O men of God. We can do something. Your God can do something about the situation. Ask grace from God. God, what do I do? What should I also do? Father, make me an intercessor. Let somebody come my way who will help me to pray. Pray that you will be praying. If you have nobody to pray with, pray that these days you will come. Mass. Or the prayer times. The prayer times here. The Wednesday afternoon. And if you see, whatever, you will come join us. So that we'll be calling on God. If you have somebody to pray with, thank God. But this is a period of serious intercession. Who is weeping? Who is asking that God should have mercy on Ghana? Father, we humble ourselves at your feet. Father, teach us the ministry of tears. Father, let things that break your heart also break our heart. Let our church be a great church that is serious about intercession. Father, raise up intercessors from amongst us, Lord, all of us. Raise us to be intercessors. I pray. touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.